Welcome back to Last Life Ever. My name is Jeff Holst, and today I have an amazing guest, Meredith Loudon. Meredith and I met about 5 years ago at a real estate event, and we recently reconnected, and I found out she was doing some amazing things, including traveling the world while running her business. But what we're going to talk to her about today is actually how to get a good night's sleep, because she has this amazing business where she helps high performers sleep better, overcome insomnia, and all that kind of stuff. Meredith, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jeff. So happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I love just everything that you're doing, getting people inspired about living the life that they want to live. And that's what I'm all about too.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why when we reconnected the other day, I was like, well, we definitely have to have this conversation on the air, because fascinating stuff that you're doing. So where are we recording from today? I know you're traveling. Where are you at these days?
I'm currently in Montevideo, Uruguay. So I'm in South America. I've been in South America since December, and this is my fourth country, I think, so far, but that's where I'm at right now.
You're hitting about one country a month, because it's now mid-April for people who listen to this later. And how long have you been traveling for total?
Since December. So I guess it's been almost 4 months at this point.
Okay, nice. Yeah. And you plan to continue traveling for what, 2-3 more weeks?
I don't have a return flight. And so it could be 2 or 3 more years for all that I know. And I love to go with the flow. So I'm just kind of like taking it one step at a time and doing what I just naturally feel inspired to do. So it's been great having that flexibility.
Yeah, that's great. And we're definitely going to get you back to talk about what it's like to just travel without a return trip, because I think that's a fascinating topic that will resonate with the audience really well. But today we're going to talk about your business, which is helping people sleep. And one of the things I saw on your website when we reconnected was that you help people fall asleep automatically without a racing mind. And I thought, that seems like a really useful thing. Now, I personally actually figured that out for myself years ago. Like, I'm really good at falling asleep. What I do is I drink until I pass out. Is that the strategy that you recommend?
That's not the one that I recommend, but it is an effective one.
I don't actually do that, to be clear, but no, actually I really am. Like, people like my ex-wife used to get so mad at me, because I'd be like, I'm going to go to sleep now, and I'll just lay down and fall asleep, right? Like, that's, I'm really, really good at that, but it didn't come naturally to me. And I'm really curious to learn how you train that, because I have my own strategy that worked, but I don't even know if I could repeat it, because it worked for me. I don't know if I could teach anyone else how to do it. So
absolutely. And that's such a good point that you bring up, because not everybody is a natural sleeper. I think that we all are born with the natural ability to sleep, of course. But I think that some of us have a brain that sometimes just doesn't want to calm down. And so it's like a skill that you have to learn. And once you build up that skill, then you're able to fall asleep easily. But some people really end up kind of stuck with chronic insomnia, because sleep is a habit. So if you are in the habit of your brain slowing down at bedtime, then falling asleep is going to be easy for you. But it can get trained to the opposite, to where your brain actually becomes more alert at bedtime. And that's how people kind of get stuck in this insomnia cycle. And that's what happened to me, because I got into this because I struggled with insomnia since I was a kid. 4 years old is actually the earliest memory that I have of having trouble sleeping. And then it was really like 10 or 11 years old, middle school age, where it started to become an issue that I was the only person in my life that I knew was struggling with. So it's been a journey for me, that's for sure. But the good news is that if you do have trouble sleeping, you can get out of it. And that is what I have been, become obsessed with, yeah, helping people figure out.
That's actually great, because I mean, occasionally I do have trouble sleeping, right? Like, I think everyone has this once in a while where they just like, for whatever reason that night, their mind's just all over. Like, in fact, I think I told you off camera earlier that last night I didn't sleep very well. Like, I stayed up pretty late, and I got into this like cycle of like watching YouTube videos about how to pack for like international travel. And I just like got kind of obsessed with that. And then all of a sudden I was like, man, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got to go to sleep. And I laid down in bed, but I was thinking about all this stuff, right? Like, I was thinking like, whoa, what backpack should I buy? Like, I've got this trip coming up, and I wanted to like maximize my packing ability for it. And I just got into that where I was thinking about it. So what do you say to people like that? Is that normal, or am I just a weirdo?
extremely normal. And this is why people talk about, you know, the importance of a evening routine to allow yourself to wind down, to be able to fall asleep easily, which is just one piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole thing. But for someone who generally has an easier time falling asleep, just disconnecting for, you know, even 30 minutes, it could be as simple as that, and not consuming information. Because I'm the same way as you, Jeff, that I just become completely obsessed. Just obsessive. And if I want to learn something or figure out what to pack on a trip, like I'm going to be watching every single video as well. And then, but I know that about myself, and I understand that about myself. So it's also having the awareness that, okay, I realize that I'm choosing to watch all of these videos or consume this content, and that I might need some extra time to be able to allow my mind to slow down quickly. But there are techniques that you can use that actually accelerate that process, that can get your brainwaves to slow down and shift into the alpha brainwave. I'm not sure how familiar you are with brainwaves, but it's a huge part of sleep and just like life in general. So that's kind of another thing that I think can be really beneficial for people. Right now we're in a beta brainwave, which is we're consciously awake and engaged. And then the next slowest brainwave is alpha. And that's the brainwave that you're in right before you fall asleep and right when you wake up in the morning. And it's also when you're relaxed, reading a book, you know, watching TV. And you want to train your mind to slow down faster into that alpha state. And there's techniques that can help you do that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm really interested in learning more about that, actually. So here's a question for you. What kind of things do you think that like are causing the problem? Like what can people be avoiding to prevent themselves from getting sort of a chronic problem? Because like I said, I think everyone occasionally has trouble sleeping, but what you're describing is more chronic. It's something that happened to you every night or nearly every night. And if someone's in that situation, obviously they probably need to reach out to you so you can help them through that process. But what if there's someone like me and they just don't want to ever get to that situation? Like, what should I be watching out for?
Love that question. So there's this thing that happens, and I call it the one bad night. And one bad night of sleep can be just that. It can be just one bad night. And then you move on and you never think about it again. And then you sleep fine again because you're not placing so much importance or attention on it. You're not giving it any weight in your life. What happens for it to become chronic, this is one of the ways that it can become chronic, is one bad night throws you into a tailspin of then worrying that it might happen the next night and the next night. And the thing about sleep is that is a passive process, and sleep doesn't like you to pay attention to it. So as soon as you start paying attention to it, that actually sends the signal to your brain that you need to be alert, and in case there's some sort of danger or threat at night. And so you're actually accidentally training your brain that sleep is something to worry about. And the subconscious only understands that worrying means danger. And so it keeps you alert at night. And so that's how people fall into this trap where they perpetuate the cycle accidentally. And then what happens is once it's happened maybe a week, a month, then you start to identify with it and you start to say things like, I have insomnia, or I'm an insomniac. And then that's just perpetuating insomnia, insomnia, insomnia in your mind. And it keeps happening over and over again.
That's really interesting. So what I told you, I had this strategy that worked for me, because I actually think that I was a little bit insomniac. I don't know how you say that, but like I was a little bit on that, somewhere on the spectrum of not being able to sleep that well when I was in high school. And I have a lot of stressors going on like you do when you're in high school. But and interestingly, it's right around the same time I chose to give up bad days, right? Like I started identifying as a person who didn't have bad days. And I think some of that allowed me to sleep better, because like when you aren't worrying about stuff because you think that everything's going well, you have less to stress about. You can kind of just shut down. But the thing that I did was I had one of those old school, digital alarm clocks with like the red numbers on it. And I decided that what I needed to do is pay attention to the clock. like just spend time staring at the clock and not think of anything. And I decided if I could like stare at the clock for 5 or 10 minutes without thinking another thought other than the exact time that it was showing, that I would be able to sort of shut my brain down. And if I could do that, then I would be able to fall asleep. And that's literally what I did to train myself to fall asleep, is I just stared at an alarm clock for 10 minutes every night. And after a while, I could just like go, oh, it's time to go to sleep. And then I just fall asleep like nearly instantly.
Can I chime in?
Does that strategy work for other people, or is it am I the only one that's able to do this?
I would say you're definitely not normal now, because I would not suggest that to anybody who's having trouble sleeping. I teach the exact opposite. I'm like, don't even know what time it is in the middle of the night. But it just comes down to... you know yourself best. And if that for you seemed like a good approach, then do it. Because if the time on the clock, it either doesn't bother you or it's going to make you feel worse. And so the people that come to me tend to start to count, oh no, now I'm only going to get 5 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep. And that just perpetuates
I could see that. Yeah. And I didn't really think about it that way. Like when I was doing it, it was more like, I was like, I'm going to prove to myself I can clear my mind so much that 10 minutes will pass without a single thought coming into my brain. And once I learn that, then it will be no problem to go to sleep. So it was sort of like I was convincing myself that I was learning a skill set to sleep.
Yeah.
But I can see why it would cause stress to people that are having real trouble sleeping. They're like, oh, I'm wasting time. Because what you get into that cycle, I think you're describing, where you're like, whoa, I only have so much time left to sleep. And then you start stressing out about the fact that you're not asleep. And then you're worried about it. And that does happen to me when I have early flights. Like when I have an early flight in the morning and I know I have to get up at like 5 a.m. instead of my normal 7 or whatever, I wake up a whole bunch of times in the middle of the night. I have trouble going to sleep because I'm like, oh, I only have 4 hours to sleep, and then I'm worried about it. And so I think that's really, you know, it is a risk point. So people don't take my weird strategy. I agree.
So what you were doing, though, was actually more of a meditation, because you were using the clock and the numbers moving on the clock as sort of your focal point to clear your mind. So it's actually very different from going into an anxiety spiral, because you were using it as a strategy to clear your mind, and that was just your focus. But for the average person who has a lot of trouble sleeping, they're just going to be seeing those minutes go by as one less minute of sleep that they're going to get.
Yeah, so maybe the wrong thing to meditate on is the alarm clock, although we don't have alarm clocks anymore, right? Like everyone just uses their phone. And I actually purposely do turn my phone upside down so I don't see the time when I'm like, if I wake up at night, I just roll over and go back to sleep, because if I get up and look at my phone, I'm going to be awake. Cause that is one thing I can't, once I wake up, I'm up. Like I don't, like if I wake up at 3 a.m. and I actually get out of bed, I'm never going back to sleep. Like it's not happening.
Yes, exactly. So I would also, that's a great tip for everyone, is just kind of don't even really look at the clock in the middle of the night, because this is what I say, you're always getting as much sleep as you can in the moment, because we can't control our sleep. So you're already doing the best that you can. And so it doesn't actually matter what time it is, because it's just completely irrelevant. And you mentioned something about sometimes struggling when you have a flight the next day. And I think that's actually really relevant for a lot of people, either whether it be traveling the next day or just like something big happening, a meeting, an interview, just anything where you feel like it has to go well. That's a really common thing that I see people struggle with, is being able to fall asleep the night before. And it's fascinating how the brain works, because the brain can keep you awake in those instances because it thinks that you need to be prepared for whatever is happening. And so it wants you to be prepared. And so it keeps you awake to prepare yourself, but it's counterintuitive, because it's better for you to sleep and be well rested in the morning than be up all night thinking about it. But it's kind of the way that the subconscious mind works. And this is the whole process that I teach people, is how to reprogram their subconscious mind to calm down automatically at night and drift off into an easy sleep without that fight or flight response activating. And the brain insomnia at night is usually doing one of two things. It thinks that it is protecting you from something. For instance, if there was like past trauma that happened at night, then that can trigger the fight or flight response at night. And that also becomes a habit. So it thinks it's protecting you from something or preparing you for something. But being up all night isn't actually useful. But the subconscious equates, oh, tomorrow's morning flight is important. And it hears important and it thinks, be awake because it's important. So it's like this mind game that we're always playing with ourselves to trick ourselves.
Yeah, I always had that problem. Yeah, I always had that problem when I was practicing law. If I had an early court appointment too, it was the same thing. Like, and definitely want to be rested when you're going to show up in court and argue on someone's behalf. But I could never sleep well if I had early court appointments. So I always tried to avoid those. And I always try to avoid early flights for the same reason. But I'm curious about one thing though. Like, what about, so we're talking about like the actual process of falling asleep, which, you know, and getting yourself to where you're able to sort of disconnect from the worry about the day or whatever it is and move into that. I think you said it was the alpha wavelength or whatever. But what if you do wake up in the middle of the night? Maybe you have to go to the bathroom and you get up and go to the bathroom. Like, is it the same process again to try to go back to sleep? Or is there something else that you recommend for that?
Right. So falling back asleep in the middle of the night can be a struggle for some people. And for other people, it's not that big of a deal. So the kind of the approach that I take is you're still in that half awake, half asleep state. And so naturally, it is quite easy to drift off as long as you don't start thinking about things. Because once you think, then it kind of activates the brain. So if it is hard to fall asleep in the middle of the night, then I recommend basically the same techniques that you would use to fall asleep at the beginning of the night, because it's the same process. Falling asleep, whether it's at the beginning of the night or in the middle of the night, it doesn't really matter to your brain. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is it's really just about calming yourself down and getting into that sleep-like state, that restful, relaxing state. And that's really what you teach people. So how did you obviously you had your own personal experience and had to learn for yourself how this worked for you, but how did you get into actually helping other people with insomnia?
Well, it wasn't my idea. It dawned on me that I had overcome it, first of all. I didn't even realize that I was good at anything. I thought I was working a corporate job, and this kind of ties into how we met at a real estate event. I wanted to build my own business, but I didn't know what I was good at. And then one day a friend actually texted me and she was like, hey, what do you do for your insomnia? And the light bulb went off and I was like, whoa, I don't have insomnia anymore. And I was like, maybe I can learn how to teach other people what works for me. And then I had to figure out, okay, what did I even do? How did I even do this? And I had to reverse engineer the process. And one of the key steps that I teach is you have to retrain your brain to fall asleep easily at night. And all that is retraining your nervous system. And there's many different techniques that you can use to do that. Meditation is a great one. I recommend people meditate, you know, even 10 minutes in the middle of the day, I say, is like really the best time to practice, because you're busy all day long and then you got to slow your mind down. So if you try to meditate in like the busiest time of your day, that's actually the best time to do it, because that's kind of what happens when you go to bed at night. You've been busy all day and you kind of just want to like shut off. And so that can kind of, when you do that, you're training your brain to slow down faster and release the thoughts faster when there's a lot of mental activity going on. There's other techniques that are really great at lowering the cortisol levels in your body. One of them is called tapping, or emotional freedom technique. And I'm not sure if you've heard of this, but it's actually where you tap on your body on different acupressure points. So if you've heard of acupuncture, there's the Chinese meridians and all of the acupuncture points on the body. There's hundreds of them, maybe thousands, but you can actually tap on them with your fingers on your face in this specific sequence. And so much research has been done on this, and it physically lowers the levels of cortisol, the stress hormone in your body, which is what you need to be able to fall asleep. So that's another really quick and easy thing to do. So next time that you're on YouTube looking at travel videos, once you're done, do 10 minutes of tapping, and that quickly slows down your brain, and it removes that kind of wind down time. It shortens it.
It's interesting because one thing that I do, and I mean, sort of related to tapping, is I tend to rub my eyes. Like when I'm like, if I need to slow myself down, I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to put my hands over my eyes for a second and just kind of like give myself a little eye massage, which is not all that different than what you're describing in a lot of ways. And then I usually, that solves two things for me. If I have a headache, it almost always goes away, which doesn't work for everyone. I've tried it with other people. It doesn't work, but it works for me. So good for me on that. But the other thing is it does cause me just to sort of slow down and like be ready to sleep.
Right. And you are probably pressing on. There's a lot of points around the eye. There's the inner eyebrow, the outer eye, and under the eye. So you probably are stimulating those points that help the body relax. So it makes total sense.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So what are things that you think people should avoid? Like, how are we sabotaging our sleep?
Yes, sleep self-sabotage is near and dear to my heart because I did this for basically almost 16 years. The first thing that happens when you have trouble sleeping is you're usually trying to find a quick fix. If it's been happening a few nights in a row, you're like, okay, what supplement can I take to make this go away? Because when you're sleep deprived, you don't feel good, and it quickly has a negative impact on your ability to just feel good every day and do your best at whatever job you're doing. And even in your relationships, you can become more irritable and start to snap at your spouse, and nobody wants to be in that situation. So the first thing is to not fall into the trap of trying to find all of these sleep aids to fix it, because that ends up with you on what I call the hamster wheel, the insomnia hamster wheel, where you're just trying to find one sleep aid after the next, but those actually aren't getting to the root cause of the problem, which is that you need to calm down your nervous system at night. Because when you can't fall asleep, it's because there's too much stress in your body. When you have high cortisol levels, melatonin production, which is a sleep hormone, melatonin production is suppressed. So that is what you need to focus on, is de-stressing, relaxing, unwinding before bed, and not just thinking that, oh, I just need to take this melatonin or this pill, because then you just end up kind of making it harder. Because now you're relying on something to sleep. Mm-hmm. And we're humans. We're supposed to sleep. Babies sleep. We all know how to do it. It's just that modern life has become so stressful for so many of us that the stress response gets very easily triggered in the body. And so learning how to regulate your nervous system and take proactive measures during your day to let yourself calm down. I say meditate in the morning, first thing before you get up, because all night long, your brain is still active. There's a lot of mental activity happening during the night, whether you had dreams or maybe when you wake up, sometimes you start thinking about stuff instantly. And so we want to clear the mind first thing in the morning so you have a fresh slate. And then adding just like a 10-minute meditation in the middle of the afternoon and then before night. And so that way you're giving yourself those little moments that allow your body to relax. Because if you just go morning to night, go, 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 and the first moment that you close your eyes, that's the first chance that you've given your body and your mind a chance to slow down. It's going to take a while, you know, not for everybody, but for people like me who naturally just think a lot and have so many thoughts going all day long, it's going to take a while. So being proactive is the biggest thing. And it's very simple, but you have to actually do it, which is the thing that most people don't want to take time out of their day to do this. But if you think about it, it's actually giving you more time back because you'll be able to fall asleep faster and feel better, where you're going to be able to be more productive instead of fatigued and kind of, you know, struggling to get through the day.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So if someone is struggling with insomnia and they want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yes. If anyone has trouble, I would be more than happy to chat with you to learn more about your situation. The best place that I point people to start is my free masterclass, which is on my website. You can find that at fallasleepeasily.com. And you can also come say hi to me on Instagram. Meredith Loudon is my name, and my website is also meredithloudon.com. And come DM me. I would love to just know if you listened to the episode, what you thought was interesting, and if there's any way that I can help.
Yeah, I love that. Fallasleepeasily.com. That's a good website. It's easy to remember. Gets to the point. Nicely done. I like it when sometimes people are like, yeah, just go to like, you know, my name is whatever at, you know, Gmail or something. And it's like, people don't know how to spell your name or whatever. So exactly. Brilliant. Nicely done. And I really appreciate you being on. Is there any other things that you think people should know before we jump off here? Is there like one last quick tip for everyone?
In regards to sleep specifically, if you are struggling and if it's been a while, I just want you to know that insomnia is not permanent and it's a temporary situation that can be fixed, because a lot of people start to feel like there's no help, that they've tried everything. Everyone who comes to me says they've already tried everything. And I'm like, well, you haven't tried the way that I teach this. And I can promise you that. And so just keep looking for what's the right solution for you, because it is fixable.
That's so good. Insomnia is not permanent. I like that, because I can see how people can look at it and be like, I have a chronic disease and it's not going to get better. And what you're saying is, no, it actually can get better. I cured my own insomnia. And I love that for you, but I love that you can help other people, because sleep is kind of important. It is a thing. If we don't sleep well, it impacts the quality of our life all the time. So thank you so much for being here. And I can't wait to have you back. It's going to be amazing. And with that, I feel a little weird, I'm going to be honest, because normally Jillian and I have a little banter that we have when we come out, and she wasn't able to make it on today. So she would say to me, what are we going to remind everyone, Jeff? And then I would say, to live the best version of your last life ever.